Our dad loved restaurants, especially really good ones. He loved going to them, planning for them, thinking about them, talking about them some more, planning the next one. Entire trips and birthdays were planned around restaurants and where we would eat. And the way he decided where to go was the Zagat survey. Zagat's restaurant guide had editors, but relied on its readers for its reviews. Very much early user-generated content. You'd buy the book at the bookstore, but you'd be asked in the mail to participate every year for that year's reviews and rankings. It was a 10-page form listing more than 200 restaurants with spaces to rate and review them all. My dad loved getting that in the mail. He would spend all weekend on it, going through it with the seriousness of his law work. You could write in little quotes, and the pithiest ones might get published when the book came out. For a long time, Zagat was an iconic brand. For his surprise 65th birthday, I even designed the invitation to his friends as a Zagat survey. Later at one ad agency I worked, we got a shot at the Zagat business. I got to meet Tim and Nina, and a group of us took them to lunch at Lever House on Park Avenue to win them over. The food, though, was bland, the service slow, and we didn't win the business. But it was a rare moment where my father took an interest in my career. Anyway, one year, the top restaurant was what it was most years. Union Square Cafe, owned by Danny Meyer. And good news to my dad, my mother's cousins from Indiana were coming east to visit. My dad loved when these cousins came, since Jeff especially loved to eat well. Good food, good wine. My parents and cousins always went to nice places, so Dad was determined this time he'd take them to Union Square Cafe. Now, getting a reservation was not easy, of course, and back then there was no open table or resi. You had to call. Exactly 1 month before. But my father was no casual amateur. When Dad needed a good reservation, he mobilized his 80-person law firm. He had people at multiple phones, all ready to dial at 9 a.m. when the line opened. This had worked with Liberta Den. This had worked with Gramercy Tavern in Gotham. So 30 days before the day the cousins were coming, the staff at Zucker, Goldberg, Becker, and Ackerman started dialing up one New York City phone number to get a table for four at Zagat's most reviewed, most revered restaurant. The busy signals were expected, but eventually one of the team got through. My dad hurried to the open line, but was crushed to hear they were already sold out for that Saturday night. He explained that he did everything right. He explained that the cousins were coming from Indiana. He explained the team behind him and the mutual love for Danny Meyer. He had been there twice before and tipped very generously. He begged. No dice. There were no tables left and nothing they could or would do. These restaurants were famous for their friendly service, so Dad was kinda extra mad they couldn't accommodate. He hung up furious and banned Union Square from his repertoire. Those people. Why couldn't they figure it out? Years later, when we would meet for lunch in the city, I would suggest newly reopened Union Square Cafe and tempt him with delicious quotes from the reviews. But nope, he wouldn't go for it. It might be number one for everyone else, but it would always be last to him. He would never go again. But then he said, "Matt, let's read the reviews and see where else we can go."
The valley moved up from the city. It's a new way of living and I'm trying to get used to it. One park clues, half an ounce of an idiot. Ordered a Manhattan and they call me a city, yeah. At first it hurt my feelings, but it's kinda got a ring to it. When you move to the country, they can tell when you're new to it. I'm looking at a place, but I'm trying to keep fitting in. It takes too long to be a local, so for now I'm a city, yeah.
I'm Matt Zucker, and this is City It, learning to live and love life in the Hudson Valley. Welcome to Season 7 and Episode 99. I'll be honest that when Brian and I moved up here from the city, we were immediately disappointed in the restaurants. We compared every menu, every meal to New York City, and there we ate out 3 to 4 times a week. We were spoiled by everything, even as the dinner checks got crazier and crazier. Expensive restaurants up here were not that great. So we enjoyed cooking at home more and going out more selectively and just sought out creativity when we could find it. We found some good wine bars, we found some good pubs. If you listen to early episodes, you know we found Mercato and later Giabatta. The truth is, though, the last few years, the restaurant scene has gotten a little better, at least for us, a little broader, more surprises, and fewer disappointments. You remember episode 89 was a love story to Bimmy's Canteen in Chatham. Stissinghouse in Pine Plains is a favorite for special occasions or a cozy winter meal at the bar. I had the most delicious half chicken last month at Pretty to Think So in Rhinebeck, named after that last line in The Sun Also Rises. And we also find ourselves keep going back and back for oysters to Le Petit Bistro. Our friends Mark and Lori also love the food scene, and so just before the holidays, Mark introduced me to Jason Bover, who runs Ulster Eateries Unfiltered, a popular Facebook group of restaurant reviews, probably one of the biggest foodie groups in the region. It's not just Ulster County, too, but as Jason says, anywhere within a 20-minute drive from it. In part one, Jason and I talk about his relationship to the Hudson Valley. Ingredients special here, like ginseng, did not know that. And starting Ulster Eateries Unfiltered. You're going to want to join for one of their monthly meetups. Then in part two, we'll talk about Cityettes and Locals and Food as a Uniter, meeting Gordon Ramsay on the Kitchen Nightmares TV show, where he sees the group and his work going, including the move into food photography. Yum. You'll hear a bunch of his local favorites and mention of the VIP Foodies card. I'll put links to everything in the show notes and the episode page. Get ready to hear about food and get hungry. Probably a good episode to listen along with a coffee and a donut. Hi, Jason.
What's going on? How are you?
Thanks for coming on City It.
Nice to finally meet you, Matt.
Yeah, you too. You're friends with Mark and Lori, who are like super fans and friends of mine.
I love Mark and Lori. We go out to lunch almost every week.
Oh, that's great. You're lucky. Where do you usually go?
I always want to go somewhere new, and he always wants to go somewhere good. He doesn't always want to gamble on what's new. So I'm a little more adventurous, I think. But.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I guess my first question for you would be, you know, tell us your relationship to the Hudson Valley. Like, how did you get here?
How did I get here? Well, I was born and raised in Saugerties, 42 years old now. So it's a pretty long time. I lived in Kingston for about 5 years, but I moved right back to Saugerties and just grew up running around the woods, shooting BB guns. I don't know, eating squirrels. No, that's not.
That's what we in the suburbs think you did.
I love the Hudson Valley, but I also love the city. I go down there as much as I possibly can. But you can't beat the fall. You can't beat the weather. You can't beat the river. Hiking, fishing, it's beautiful. Waterfalls, Catterskill, Mohonk, you name it.
Yeah, that's great. And you kind of grew up in the food and bev business, right?
Yeah, 39 years, my family owned a beverage distribution company, Esotech Beverages. We basically focused on eccentric, organic, smaller mom and pop type beverage companies that didn't really have distribution nationally. It really kind of worked out being in New Paltz, Woodstock, and kind of this alternative area, this more hippie liberal area of the country where people were willing to kind of experiment with different drinks that you wouldn't normally see in a grocery store or something like that.
Different kinds of potions and ingredients.
Yeah, I mean, we also carried different vitamins and coffee and sesame oils and vinegars and olives and sun-dried tomatoes and just a lot of different specialty items from the city that you wouldn't normally see up in the Hudson Valley.
Are there certain ingredients that are from the Hudson Valley that we wouldn't, maybe the newcomers we don't realize are from here and they're really good locally? Besides apples?
Well, you're right. I think Saugerties is mostly known for garlic. I believe we have the second biggest garlic festival in the United States behind Gilroy, California. Saugerties Garlic Festival. And then you got like Catskill Mountain. We got ginseng, which my dad was a big part of, with this Chinese root that has all these mystical powers and vitamins and different herbs. And
is that in the woods? Is it grown in the woods?
It's wild in the Catskill Mountains. The wild is worth extreme amounts of money, like $1,000 a pound, but you can also get it farmed, cultivated, and that's worth much less. But the Catskill Mountain ginseng is actually known as being the best in the world.
Wow.
Some people might say it's also big down in like the Virginia area and then also over in Korea. Korean ginseng is a big thing, but a lot of people in Canal Street, they try to get the Catskill wild. That's the big thing. My dad used to pick it in the woods and we used to go down to Chinatown and sell it down there for quite a bit of money. I started going down to the city on like a monthly basis and dropping off ginseng and then picking up like Pellegrino from Arthur Avenue and picking up sesame oil from Chinatown and bringing it up and selling it to like Sunflower Natural Foods, Mother Earth.
Yeah.
Rhinebeck Health, which is now Sunflower's second location in right. Rhinebeck. So I've always kind of been around eccentric, different novelty types of food and beverages my whole life. So
how did the idea start of Ulster Eateries Unfiltered? How did you get to starting a group all about it?
I've always been traveling. I've been going to some of these food shows in all across the country since I was a kid. United Natural Foods has their own food show up and down the East Coast. Jacob Javits Center has the fancy food show and some of these trade shows like for Cisco. And, you know, my family would make a weekend trip out of it. Used to go to Baltimore every year, Maine, Boston, Philadelphia. And when I was there as a teenager, my dad would always take me around and go to all the crazy holes in the walls and Chinatowns and try to find some niche eccentric stuff. But as I got older into my early 20s and Facebook and Instagram became a thing, I would blog my food. And I started a blog about 15 years ago before I had an Instagram, before I had a Facebook. And that was called Mobile Munchies at blogspot.com. And that name's been taken, actually. I wish I had trademarked it or something like that. And my friends knew about it and everyone kind of looked at me as the traveling food guy. And then COVID came, my father passed away. I closed down the beverage business after 39 years. And I decided I wanted to start a Facebook group where I could post my food journeys. I started posting it in this group. And I just wanted it to be, when I say, when it's Ulster Eateries Unfiltered, it's not that people can be rude or obnoxious. It's not like that unfiltered. It's unfiltered because I want your honest review for bad or for good. We do have rules. And if people want to be rude and or bully people, they get kicked out. We don't have time for that. But we want your real experience. We want pictures of your real food. We want to know what you think of the taste and the flavors and the textures and everything. I want to know where all the good food is. So I want you to leave a good review, you know, a review so I know what's good and what's bad too. It turned into not just me posting my own reviews, but now I look at other people's reviews for recommendations also.
Yeah. And is it organized? Can you search for different things in it?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, we probably have reviews of maybe 90% or more of all the restaurants in Ulster County. And we also do some Dutchess, Green, and Columbia County. I figure if you can drive 20 or 30 minutes for food, it's worth posting about. You could just hit search, type in the restaurant you're looking for. Reviews will come right up.
I'm on a constant quest for restaurants that are open on Mondays and Tuesdays. I don't know if that's as big a hard thing for you in your county as it is mine, but here it's impossible.
Mondays are hard. Mondays, I just eat my leftovers.
The restaurants must love it because you're kind of driving attention to the restaurants.
I've made so many friends and I've gotten so many messages from restaurants who are super positive about what I'm doing and about what we're doing as a group. Really want to try to build a sense of community. We do monthly get-togethers. Kind of like a supper club. We just had our February get together. We went to P&G's in New Paltz. They won best chili in Ulster County in our group. Our group has monthly polls.
Oh.
So you can vote for your favorite restaurants, your favorite foods. This month, our poll is who has the best corned beef and cabbage. And for St. Patrick's Day, we'll have a get together at whoever wins. We'll hang out and eat the best corned beef and cabbage in Ulster County. It's a good time to make some friends, talk about food, enjoy some company, get out of the house. It's not just food reviews. We also just talk about trends. If anyone has questions about kitchen or chefs or ingredients or a certain type of food, that's totally game. You could just be like, who likes cupcakes and who likes donuts? And then we just started a debate about which one we like better.
Yeah, that's funny. And I saw there was a VIP card, which of course I want to have. What is it?
I started these relationships with all these restaurants and doing reviews for them. And
yeah.
I'm also a photographer, so I do photos for restaurants, websites, and social media. I said, hey, what if we started like a discount VIP kind of card for our members so they feel special, drive some more business to you guys? And I instantly had like 10 restaurants say, absolutely. So I started the Ulster Eateries Unfiltered VIP Foodie Card. That's a mouthful. But we have over 70 restaurants on the card that offer discounts to our members. You can buy the card at ulstereateriesunfiltered.com. It's $20 and has 70 discounts right now. I'm seriously adding like two or three restaurants every week because everyone just wants to jump on the card. It's good for a year. And then next year we'll do a new one. You can also buy it in person at Kingston Candy Bar in Uptown Kingston, at Twin Ravens Coffee in Ellenville, and at Village Pizza in New Paltz for $15. And it's cheaper there because I'd rather drive people to go to the restaurants to spend the money than to put the money in my back pocket. So it's cheaper if you go there and buy it. It makes them happy. They get more customers. They make a little bit of money on it. So if you're looking to get your hand on one immediately, check out those three locations.
Yeah, I'll put those in the show notes.
And if you own a restaurant and you want to be on the discount card, please send me a message, Jason Bover on Facebook. We have over 15,000 members on the group now. We're just about 2 years and 1 month old. Started the group in January 2022. Never thought it would get this big, but it's been a trip. It's been a roller coaster, that's for sure.
Well, hopefully I can come to one of your dining events too.
Once a month. So when we have these dining events, I try to work with the restaurant to do a special, and I try to make it something off menu and something that I can kind of put my two cents in. So like we had an ice cream get together at Jolly Cow in Kingston, but I wanted to do something unfiltered. So we did a special pumpkin cannoli milkshake, which isn't on the menu. And I worked with them. I get to go there and kind of like design it and everything. And we did a chicken wing get together at Urban Fork in Kingston. And Rosanna over there, she let me use my own hot sauce that I made myself with peppers I grew in my own garden. So we got to I got to have my own chicken wings for a day. We had a donut get together at Half Moon, and I made a hot honey donut that wasn't on the menu. We had a Philly cheesesteak get together at Joby's. I got to make a Ulster Eateries unfiltered cheesesteak, and I added cream cheese and jalapenos and made it like a jalapeno popper cheesesteak. And
do people just sign up to come, or do they just
it's free to come?
You just show up,
open to the public. If you tell me, if you RSVP, that's nice, just so I can tell the restaurant how many people are going to show up. But it's not required. We had a barbecue get together at a Hickory Barbecue on Route 28, and we had 48 people show up. We packed the house on a weeknight. They were just like blown away because it's like, oh, normally we're slow tonight, but you just brought in like $2,000 in business. Like,
that's great.
Yeah. You know, we're trying to get people to come out and really support these local restaurants. We don't really do reviews of chains or corporate places or fast food or anything like that. There's no reason to like leave a review like McDonald's or something like that. It's ridiculous. Our discount card is only locally owned, no chains. Most places are 10% off, but I'd say you can make whatever discount you want. So one of them is like a free cup of coffee. One of them is like a $2 breakfast sandwich. 10%, buy one, get one half off, you know, $5 off a t-shirt. There's a clothing company on there, Upstate Original. Nadine Ferraro runs that business, and she makes clothes that are like Hudson Valley themed. She's on the discount card. My coffee company is on the discount card. My photography is on the discount card if you're looking for a family session or a wedding even. So, you know, if you guys buy a card and support me on the food side, then I can help you on the photography side if you're getting married. It's all synergistic.
Yeah, no, that's great. Gets people out to go local. My guess would be that it's because food is a real uniter. You'd have a lot of the city, it's like me, newcomers of the last 10 years, but you would also have a lot of people that are from here, that are really born and bred here. Do you sense that? Is there this mixing of worlds?
There's definitely the locals who have their favorites, who are kind of like the tried and true, multi-generational, been here forever establishments. And then you have this big influx of more expensive, higher quality ingredients, some of these newer,
douchier,
hipstery, trendy restaurants. And there's a little friction there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the locals don't like them coming in and taking over and complain about the prices.
Yep.
Then you have such an influx of people who moved up during COVID that I support those places. I go down to the city so much that it's right up my alley, but I like both places. The people who are transplants who just moved up here probably are more so looking for information because they're not accustomed and they're not familiar with the area.
Yeah.
So I find them searching and looking for recommendations more. than the locals who already kind of like know where all the restaurants and know what have been around for years and years and years.
One friction point I hear is, besides pricing, is also expectations on service. Like that's a big topic about what your expectations are. And I say some, you know, people disagree about like, was that good service or bad service, or what should you expect? Or, and it's hard with the pandemic too, because everyone's understaffed. I'm really sympathetic about it too, but I see sometimes people really scorch the earth over service expectation, which I think is kind of unfair.
The biggest pushback I see, everyone, whenever there's a negative mention of service, is did you speak to the manager? Did you speak to the restaurant owner at the time of service?
Yeah.
And people will go online and say, how dare you leave a negative review about the service of a restaurant without the restaurant being able to defend themselves or without bringing it to their attention? We kind of go by the philosophy that when we go to a restaurant, the restaurant is expected to supply us with a level of service which we're happy with, and that we shouldn't have to police them at the time of service. And that as a diner and as a customer, I don't feel comfortable telling a restaurant owner how to run their business or what to.
Oh, I see. So you don't think you have to bring it up. Yeah.
I typically don't have issues with service just because I understand people make mistakes. I make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. I actually hardly ever mention service when it comes to my reviews. Probably 75% of the restaurants in Ulster County already follow the page, and they'll come on there and they'll reply right away. Oh, you know, so sorry. Thank you for letting us know. Give us a call, send us a message. We'll make it right. If a restaurant isn't on social media, isn't keeping up with their Facebook, their Instagram, TikTok, Yelp, TripAdvisor, Google, it's, you know, it really, it's 2024. It's really part, I see it as being part of the game. It's, I feel like it's part of your responsibility. And if you're not evolving as a restaurant and you're not on top of these types of things, then you're doing yourself a disservice. I was actually invited onto Kitchen Nightmares with Gordon Ramsay. The casting director for Fox text messaged me while I was shooting a wedding in South Carolina. And he's like, hey, so we want you to be a special guest as the VIP hero table, they called it, for Kitchen Nightmares. They filmed an episode in Saugerties last summer. And I was like, I'm there, dude. So I show up and I actually sat down with Gordon Ramsay for a while. And he talked to me about the food group. And he was telling me how social media is so important for a restaurant and can really make or break a restaurant. And that he absolutely believes in what I'm doing and that just keep doing what I'm doing. And he said the same thing. He said, I don't understand these restaurants that aren't on social media. He said, just keep doing what you're doing. And unfortunately, that interview didn't make the final cut of the episode. I wish it did.
Yeah, but you got to meet Gordon Ramsay. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, it was an awesome experience. He was super nice in person. It was a special moment. It's a Love Bites episode on Kitchen Nightmares, and the season that was last year. And I'm on there a few times. But actually, I sent my burger back to Gordon Ramsay, but that's a whole nother story.
That's funny. What do you hope happens with Ulster Eateries Unfiltered? Like, where's it going to go?
Where's it going?
Yeah.
So my full-time job is I'm a wedding photographer, and I've started transitioning over to food photography. And the food photography is definitely a passion of mine. I get to do the two things I like most. I get to eat and I get to take pictures. It's been a nice gateway for me to make these connections and offer my photography services. We have 15,500 members now. I'm really hoping to hit 20,000 by the end of summer. We're averaging about 1,000 new members a month. Our engagement is through the roof. People are just talking and chatting and liking. And, you know, we got 500,000 views in December. We got 300,000 views in January. I think people were taking a break in January. They were on their diets or something like that. I started taking sponsors and running, so now they can sponsor the banner on the top of the page.
Yep.
I've been doing this for free for 2 years. I've spent a couple $100 a week on food, so my bills are a little high, and I'd like to at least break even. That'd be nice.
Right.
I love it. I was offered a job for Hudson Valley One newspaper because of my food reviews and my photography. So I was doing the food articles over at the newspaper, and it's just opened up so many doors and so much networking and so many opportunities. And I'm super grateful. I'm doing everything I want to do. And I'm happy. I love doing what I do. And I feel like a lot of people aren't happy with what they do. I'm super grateful that I am where I am.
That's great. Do you have a favorite meal or food? Like, do you have a signature thing?
Oh man, I usually go for the as weird as possible items on the menu. Everyone will be like, "What's your favorite restaurant in the Hudson Valley?" And I'm like, I can't answer that question.
Yeah, I wasn't going to ask you. I felt like it would be too complicated.
It's too specific. Everything is too apples and oranges. I can't, like, even if you said, "What's your favorite pizzeria?" I'm like, "What kind of pizza?" Like,
right.
There's like five different kinds of pizza. I've had some of my core supporters. I like to support them. I'm a big fan of like Barrio Tacos, a Mexican Lindo in Kingston. I'm a big fan of Oysters, Salt and Fire, Kingston Standard.
I love Kingston Standard.
Yes. I like hot dogs from Dallas Hot Wings. I'm not.
You've got in there. I've never got in there.
I'm not bougie. I'll eat at whatever.
I have all these food allergies as well as gluten. So I have to be very particular where I go. So I'm always looking at menus before I go.
I have a friend that's celiac and it's always a struggle to find something for her to eat. I don't suffer from that. I couldn't imagine.
Oh, tell her to try Bimmy's in Chatham that I interviewed last year. There's a celiac safe, so it's not just gluten-free. It's an amazing restaurant.
Cheese shop, right?
Well, the cheese shop now has a restaurant. So it's separate from the cheese shop is a really nice restaurant called Bimmy's Canteen.
Well, I love Half Moon Rondau Cafes, hot donuts. That's like one of my vices, man. I could just go to town. Hot donuts.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm a big coffee. I started my own coffee company last year and I just drink coffee all day long. I think my favorite coffee shop is Supernatural in Hudson.
Yes, that's a cool place.
Or Moto in Hudson is good too. Lagusta's in New Paltz is great. Half Moon is great. Monkey Joe's, you know, I don't discriminate.
Yeah, I met someone there recently at Monkey Joe's. That was kind of a cool place to meet.
I mean,
even a roaster's place.
Bad coffee is good coffee. It's all good. It's all, I don't discriminate.
So how did you start a coffee company?
So back to the Esotech beverages, right? So I'm going down to New York City like once a month. Well, we also distributed coffee. We distributed coffee and we picked it up on Bleecker Street. 100-year-old coffee roaster, fourth generation. And we used to bring it up here and sell it to like Sunflower. When I closed down the business, I already had this relationship with the roaster. And being like such a coffee head, I was like, what can I sell and market to my followers on Facebook. And I really wanted to try to find something that had the widest reach. So although I don't drink a lot of flavored coffee, I wanted to do something flavored because I feel like it's more mainstream. So I have a roaster in New York City that roasts for me to my specifications. I worked with them. I tried like 20 different roasts and picked out which one I want. You know, can you do this a little bit lighter? Can you do that a little bit darker? They roast, they mail it to me one day. So I get it the next day. And then I add the flavoring. And this is where, yeah. So I wanted to do something I've never seen before. So my hazelnut has actual hazelnuts in the coffee. My blueberry has actual freeze-dried blueberries in the coffee. My Rocky Road has toasted almonds in the coffee. So when you grind up the beans, the nuts grind up with the coffee and it's naturally flavored. You're actually steeping the nuts in water with the coffee beans. The vanilla, I add real vanilla beans, scraped vanilla beans into the coffee beans. Our seasonal pumpkin had actual ginger, nutmegs, clove, cinnamon, allspice. I also have a espresso and I have a non-flavored. But for me, I think it's the best flavored coffee I've ever had.
What's the coffee brand name? What's your coffee brand?
My coffee brand is called Tiny Dog Coffee because I have three French bulldogs at home. And the logo is one my first Frenchie. It's tinydogcoffee.com. So it's roasted in New York City, but it's...
Yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes as well.
Thank you. Yeah, it's bagged and packaged in Saugerties, New York. I just started it last year. There's been probably four or five restaurants that want to carry it. I'm working with them. I'm still working to get totally compliant with food health department and everything. So it can be packaged for resale. But I've been selling it for my friends and family and stuff like that, just on the side, just as like a passion project. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple of restaurants that are going to brew it in the spring for blueberry iced coffees and lattes and stuff like that. It's just a passion. I mean, that's how my photography started. That's how this whole food group started. Everything I'm doing are things that I wanted to do. And it just kind of like fell into place. And I'm like, how can I monetize the things that I love instead of trying to go to work? That's something I don't love.
Yeah, no, I know. And it keeps you going. It keeps you going through the dark times when you love it. Thanks for tuning in to the new season of City It. So proud to be among the biggest regional podcasts in the Hudson Valley and a finalist in the Chronogrammies once again. Voting starts in April. so be sure to vote for City It in the Arts and Entertainment category for Regional Podcast. There's a link in the show notes and the episode page on cityit.com. You helped me win the first year, get second place year two, and third place last year. So let's take one more run at it. Bronze seeks gold again, as they say. I'm excited to also share that the City It team is growing. Welcome new editor Isaac Roston, who's now editing the show. Isaac is a digital media student at SUNY New Paltz, introduced to me by Brett Barry, who you know from the CatsCast podcast at episode 77. Isaac is passionate about nonfiction storytelling through audio and video, and enjoys hiking, birdwatching, and reading. He hopes to break into documentary production and editing after graduating, and is excited to be part of the show. Thank you, Brett, and hello, Isaac. Okay, spring is coming, everyone, which in the Hudson Valley means it's muddy. You should see our backyard. Maybe my next sponsor should be a Muck Boots brand. Nora's 4 feet are filthy. The good news is the farm stands are opening up and you can feel the energy and the warmth in the air. Stay tuned. And you know what I'm going to say. Come visit.
Down in the valley, moved up from the city. It's a new way of living and I'm trying to get used to it. One park poodle's half an ounce of an idiot. Ordered a Manhattan and they call me a city, yeah. At first it hurt my feelings, but it's kind of got a ring to it. When you move to the country, they can tell when you're new to it. I'm looking at a place, but I'm trying to keep fitting in. It takes too long to be a local, so for now, I'm a city. I'm a city. I'm a city. I'm a city.